Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John. We were just talking about an experience. You got to hear what happened this morning with Elijah, John's son, a wonderful young man, and he was reading with about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. He just came on in, man. He was so hungry mm-hmm. for God. He's been seeking God. Him and his brother both have been spending time abiding. It was just an awesome moment. He just says, "Dad, I'm ready. Oh, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And I hadn't been talking to him about this at all.
It's all on his own.
No, it's him and the Lord.
Wow.
And it was just a powerful, powerful time. We just prayed. Mm-hmm. And God took over. And I'm so proud of him. He didn't get in his head or nothing. He just let God touch him.
Mm. We're just talking about in the end, you catch at the end of the first hour, where the night that Pat got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's ready, he's one, and the Lord laid on our heart that was a night for him. He didn't know it. Couldn't tell him. He would think about it too much.
No, I shut down.
And how's this going to happen?
What's going to happen? Where am I going to be?
Back then.
And
is my hair going to be all right?
And you can hear more details on this, because I'm going to go and tell what's happening the night the Lord called us to begin to anoint the borders of the county that we're in, a very large county. And but it wasn't until he spilt a 32-ounce orange drink in his lap.
Cold drink.
Very cold.
His brain turned to his lap, all of a sudden his mouth opened, and it even opened with what you probably wouldn't think about saying before you got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So his brain shut down.
And then my spirit
His mouth
up.
Is open. His spirit was already alive, and all of a sudden God filled him right there. Bam! Mm. Escambia was the name of the county, and that's the name of a First Nation tribe, Indian tribe. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we're headed towards the eastern border, which there was a tribe that lived there in the eastern area of that county. Mm-hmm. And we knew more about it then, because we're just kind of sharing off the top right now and just telling about the glory of God and the power of God. Listen, this is a journey. I'm talking about an adventure. God's called us to an adventure. You don't mm-hmm. have to fake it. You don't have to jump off cliffs. I mean, you don't have to bungee jump. You just got to say yes to God and then follow him. Believe mm-hmm. me, it is an adventure. And so we're going to the eastern border now, because, of course, Pat's filled with the baptism and gets an Indian dialect, because tongues just means language. So God will give you another language, a language mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And there's so many different languages. If you just watch the United Nations, or you hear. And it's interesting, too, because there's a lot of languages that have been taken over by the adversary.
Yeah.
And they're worshiping false gods. Mm-hmm. But then God will give somebody else the infilling of the baptism, and you hear them begin to praise God with this other people's dialect. So God even takes that language that the enemy tries to hold captive, and you can see it. So that's Farsi, man. Mm-hmm. He's praising God in Farsi. Yeah. And it's just, anyway, it's a different conversation. And a heavenly language as well that only heaven knows. And either way, it's the power of God. And so we're going to the eastern border. We got another bottle. We have an E on it for the east. We had four bottles, northeast, west, and south, which spells news, right? N-E-W-S. Mm-hmm. And we're going to the eastern border. And it had just happened to be where, and God is a just God, so obviously something had to happen on the eastern border in repentance for what happened to the First Nation people. I mean, mm-hmm. God was doing it. Remember, it was like intense. Mm-hmm. And we're just praying and pouring the
oil
out into the Escambia River, and oil is coming all the way down. Imagine all the way down into the bay.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And just the power of God and prophecies going forth about these dry bones and, mm-hmm. Will these bones live? And all of a sudden, yes, they'll live. And just powerful God was just like giving hope over the county, over mm-hmm. the, what seemed kind of stuck. And then of course we are just like, we don't think our wills were even touched the ground at that point. Mm-hmm. And we were just on fire for God, and we're going. And of course, Pat's just, definitely out of his mind. And, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, we were at a particular intersection headed towards the southern border, which is way down. It is the Naval Air Station Base, NAS.
We went to west. After we went from the east.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Then we go to the east, and of course, that's what happens on the east. Then we go to the western border. The western border is Perdido River, and it goes all the way down to the bay, to the Gulf of Mexico as well, bay. And when we got there in the west, we found out that think about it. We're just in the presence of God. It's a beautiful environment. It's just fresh and all this. But you walked into the atmosphere of what was in the west.
Mm-hmm.
And some bad things have gone out there. And we work in these dark woods. This small road, I meant like a scary thing, mm-hmm. goes over this. And it didn't feel that way until all of a sudden you could feel the oppression in the area. And it's sort of like you're talking, but somebody, your hands are over your ears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, wow, wow. You try to say, like, did y'all see that? I felt like an over thing. What's going on right here? And all of a sudden we were like, man, we got to take authority over this. And so we began to bind, and there was people in the woods out there doing whatever they were doing, whatever they do out there in the dark woods. And we began to just bind and loose. And
we're standing on a bridge, I believe.
Yeah, we're standing right on the bridge, man, just declaring the glory of God and claiming the county and repenting for what was taking place in the western borders. Pouring oil in the river, and all of a sudden you hear this noise because it's like dead. It's like a vacuum. It's like we're in a vacuum.
Yeah.
An oppressed vacuum. And it's like nothing's moving at all other than us. And then all of a sudden you hear this noise from a distance. You hear this noise, and it's like it's getting closer. And it's getting closer. It's like coming up Perdido River. It's coming from the south to the north, and it's just getting closer and closer. I mean, you can hear it's like, what's going on? And what it was is a big wind started way down at the bottom of the river and blew its way all the way up the river. And by the time it got to us, and you could just feel the wind of God just blow,
mm-hmm.
it literally blew so hard our clothes began to flap, man, mm-hmm. just flap. I mean, it was awesome. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was like, oh my goodness.
Awesome.
Powerful, powerful, powerful night in God when we just obeyed God. And we finished up there praying, and it was just, we were just pumped again.
Mm.
And we're headed south now. And as we're we stopped somewhere or whatever. And in that, all of a sudden, the headlights went out on the car.
Yeah.
Just totally went out. And of course, Pat's faith is like skyrocketing. All of our faith is. And I said, Pat, man, pray for these lights to come back on. He puts his hand on the dashboard in the car and mm-hmm. just speaks to the car. They come poop. They came back on. I was like, man. We are. This is it. We're gonna be like chitty chitty bang bang. We're gonna go up, and it's just gonna go up in the air. We're gonna go off into the heavenlies. I mean, we were pumped. And so we're
translated from one end of the county to the next.
Yeah, right. Really. We're driving down the main highway, which is Highway 29, going south to NAS Naval Air Station Pensacola, and all of a sudden, as we're driving, God gives me a vision. And he shows me, we are in this vision. And imagine if you take all the states and they're like Florida's a piece of puzzle and you put it back down and mm-hmm. Alabama's a piece of puzzle. And then you have that 50 pieces of puzzle, right? And so, mm-hmm. but then imagine in the state of Florida, for example, the counties are puzzles. And so you puzzle pieces so you can pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden what I saw was, like a Escambia County's piece of puzzle lifted up. And under it was like just it's like a skin on a body where you move the skin off. And it's like, that Escambia County is just part of what God is doing in the world, just part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it was like the roads turned into arteries and veins. I mean, it was just amazing.
Wow.
It's a huge thing.
Remember that.
And that, and so often, you know, people could get a mindset. It's like, you know, God's only doing what he's doing here. It's like, no, you're a part of what God is doing. Mm-hmm. God is big, you know, and God's doing what he's doing all over the place. Then also when we get to NAS, we have one bottle left. It's the S bottle, the South bottle, Southern bottle. And at that time, there was a crisis going on in the world where they secured all the bases in the world. And where was John again? Anyway,
he wasn't there.
Secured all the bases again. And
I was busy. Okay. I was busy then.
Let's go back to God. Anyway.
Lord, forgive them for they don't know what they do. It's okay.
Anyway.
All right.
And so here we are. Go to this base. And the guard tells us right up front. And we got to get to the base because the southern border.
The southern border.
This is the further southern border. And so we had to go all the way down to the waterline and where the Gulf of Mexico is. Mm. And in that, we told him, he says, listen, can we come on the base? And we didn't tell him anything.
Yeah.
And he just said, no.
Right.
It was just like dogmatic. It's like, it just shut down, totally shut down. Like, this is not how it's been going.
It's not part of the plan.
It's not part of the plan, right? And then finally, I pulled the ball out and told him everything. Yep. I said, this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. And this is the southern bottle. And this is all we have left.
Mm-hmm.
And the favor of God fell upon us at that moment. Mm-hmm. And he just gave us free reign mm-hmm. of the base of Naval Air Station Pensacola.
Yep.
He just said, come on in.
Yep.
At what, 4 o'clock in the morning?
It was late.
And we went all the way to where the hangars and all the military and the Blue Angels and all that stuff. We went all the way down to the waterfront
mm-hmm.
and where the ships dock in and dock out mm-hmm. and all this there. And we just began to take authority, man.
Yep.
We were pacing back and forth, declaring the glory of God, pouring oil out in the southern border. And it was just powerful, man.
Mm.
And then the Lord gave a word. The word was, I'm setting my base up.
Mm.
He says, I'm setting my angelic base up over this city.
Mm.
And we have all these words. I mean, I'm coming off the top of my head, but you have the natural base.
Mm.
But God was setting a base of his angels up. He was setting a base up over the city and to do his warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And just a powerful, powerful night. And that was the night that the glory of God just began to carry us, the night that you got filled, Pat got mm-hmm. filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we claimed the county for God.
Mm-hmm.
We claimed the county. We have those bottles today. I have those bottles in my office today. You know, I've always had them up to be able to remember that, you know, we've claimed this for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And now we're seeing today the manifestation of so many things that God has done. So we didn't just get here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been here. We've been praying for you a long, long time.
That's right.
And during the storms and the hurricanes, we were the ones that adopt a family.
Oh, yeah.
We're the ones that were trying to help out through what we were doing in whatever way we could, all the way over to Waveland.
Mm-hmm.
And our hearts went out to you. And they still do. We still have scars. Y'all's scars with us today.
And we partnered with Operation Blessing.
Yeah, Operation Blessing. They distributed some funds to us, so we were able to give out money to families in need. But I know the devastation that happened to you, Gulfport, and Waveland and all that those scars are still there for us.
They didn't get much reported.
For you. Yeah, it didn't get much reported. But I want you to know that we were there, and we cried with you. We prayed for you. We even clothed Gulfport, because you remember the man that the storm was so big. The wind was so strong, the water current was so strong that he held onto a tree in Gulfport.
Mm.
And he was all scratched up. He was all torn up from the hurricane, Ivan, I guess, or Katrina or Ivan.
Katrina at that point.
And he held onto the tree. And as he's holding on to the tree, he's all scratched up from hanging onto it. But every part of it ripped all of his clothes off his body.
Mm. Wow.
And just so many things. And we've been here with you. God's allowing us to stay here with you. And I just want to give a shout out to the Gulf Coast, to the Emerald Coast, that we got some great announcements coming up really soon. We're going to begin to share with you. Our audience is around the world, and we're excited about God taking things to a new level on the Gulf Coast. We believe that the prophetic voice of the Lord is going to let us know, hear what the Spirit says to the churches, that he is going to begin to tell us and direct us in a season ahead to set us apart, to make us a hub city, a hub county, a hub coast for the glory of God in the upcoming things that are going to happen. There's going to be a huge differentiation between those who are God's and those who are not. Those cities who say, listen, we're going to do what's right before God. We're going to honor God. We're going to honor Israel. We're going to do what's right, from the counties that just buy in to darkness and the states that buy into darkness, and cities that buy into darkness and say, we're just going to give ourselves over to all this darkness. You'll see a difference coming. No longer are we going to be seen by under one spiritual aspect of one constitution, but there will be different spiritual constitutions over each county, over each state, over each region that are willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. And in view of his mercy, they say, Lord, we want to walk in your way. We want you to be our God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to check out of your marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and if you're in a place of despair, please know there is hope. Here's Susie Larson sharing her story.
I was ready to put the surrender flag up and give up on the marriage and just bide my time and stay. I can't even believe that's true, but that's how empty my well was, and that God would lead me to that place of wisdom where I really did have to die to myself so that I could live in this marriage. Profound wisdom right from the Lord, and it really opened the door to something. And I think that's where the tears come from, that in that death point, so many people would rather say death to the marriage rather than death to their flesh. And I thank God that he gave me the insight to follow through with what he was asking of me.
God's design for marriage is at times difficult, but it's also deeply rewarding. You'll find hope for your relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak, and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important, because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. I can't wait to share with you some of the things that God's revealing to me. And you know, we've been talking about what's taking place in the Middle East, and we're seeing how We talked about the Arab League, which is this huge Islamic following nations that are wrapping around little small Israel. And we're looking at the Syrian crisis, where for some reason they were just pushing to be able to fire some shots into Syria. And I don't know, I mean, allegedly, that arms were being traded. We sent arms through Libya, through Turkey, to get into Syria. And now we're saying we don't want to hurt Assad, but we want to shoot up in Syria somewhere. It's like, but you're saying Assad's the one that's gassed these folks, this horrific thing. It's like, if you put two and two together, I mean, you would think, and I don't know this to be true, but we put all those alleged reports together, you would say, are you trying to take out the witnesses and the weapons that came from Libya? You know, are you trying? Because the only thing that makes sense is if you're not going to harm the person who harmed the people, and you're going to say, I'm not going to harm people either, then what are you going to shoot? Are you going to take out an armory that we put there through Libya that we gave through Turkey? I mean, what are you going to, are you going to take out some evidence? Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. And then all of a sudden you have the former Secretary of State saying, do it, do it.
Right.
You have a replacement, Secretary John Kerry, saying, do it, do it. Then you have the Muslim Brotherhood working through what's happening. The faction says this will embolden them. And it's like, wait a minute, this don't have anything to do with, they're wanting to take something out. There's something there that they don't want to be seen. There's something's going on right now. And it's going to take some serious gunpowder to be able to remove it from the face of the earth, whatever it is. It's the only thing that would make sense in the context of that, when we're talking about biblical perspective of the news, that's what they're probably, you know, you think could be their motive. But what's going to happen, it could stir up a chemical attack on Israel. And it's like, we're this little small country right here. You're doing all this huge movement. But in this meantime, you know, God will let you believe what you want to believe, to go where he wants you to go so he can do what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people show up at a place to be able to do whatever they're telling you, but they end up fulfilling the will of God. They end up fulfilling the will of God. And what the interesting thing is that when you look at Israel and you look at what's happening, when you start talking about, and we'll talk more about this, but I'll just kind of give you a little hint about it. When you talk about when Ezekiel's prophesying to the mountains around Israel, that the enemy has taken the mountains, that the mountains, that's the West Bank. He's prophesying to Esau. Mm. He's prophesying to the Muslim nations. It's to the Arab Muslims that he's prophesying to, because he's saying, you know, you've abused, you've ridiculed, you've done all this stuff to my people, and Israel. And this is a long story short, but he says, begin to prophesy to him. And this is the interesting thing. And so then what happens is, what God talks about, and I'm not going to do it today, but we will do it in Ezekiel. He says, but then the prince of Gog and Magog, that's Moscow and Russia, that's Putin. Mm-hmm. He said, he will come down and he will gather nations with him. And the nations he gathers, when you look at the name of the nations that he gathers, you're going to find them pretty, pretty interesting. Let me give you a couple of the nations that are right here. One of the nations that he gathers is, so when you say Gog and Magog, just say Russia and Moscow. Or just say Putin. I mean, he just came down. Remember, all of a sudden, just like Ezekiel prophesies that this prince of Gog and Magog would come down and he would rescue things. Mm-hmm. He would resolve some stuff. And in that, he would begin to gather these nations that were against Israel, and all of a sudden they would be up under him. In other words, they're saying, this is what the Arab League has been reportedly saying right now, mm-hmm. is that they think this is a good plan. what the prince of Gog and Magog has said, what Russia has said, that's what that is,
mm-hmm.
it's good. That's what they're saying. And who are the ones that join with Russia?
Mm.
It's Persia. You know who Persia is? Persia's Iran. They're one of the ones that say, hey, I like this. I like what Putin's doing here.
Mm.
And not only that, but, well, and you think about it, 99.9% of Iran is Muslims. It's a Muslim nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a Muslim nation. And you're looking at it that the Muslims are going to be up under the prince of Gog and Magog, up under the leader of this movement, this prophetic movement that God speaks about is going to be Russia. And so when he came down and said, hey, you know, I'll rescue, this is, you got to understand, this is not normal.
Yes.
This is not ever normal in the hemisphere of America since we existed that we would have even thought that even possible until our nation has been so humbled now. And weakened. And so Persia is one of the nations that will be gathered to Russia, which would be Iran. Next one is Kush. And Kush predominantly is northern Africa. Hello, all Muslim nations. You know, all the way from Morocco to Egypt, all the way northern
Arab
Africa.
League.
What's that?
It's the Arab League.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's the Arab League. And then Libya, of course, is what another country that it speaks of that would be gathering to Gog and Magog.
Mm.
And Gomer. And Gomer now is Eastern Europe, and you have Albania and the Yugoslavia. And if you look at Eastern Europe, it is predominantly Muslim, and it's going west, as you can see what's happening in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, they're projecting that it's going to be, you know, a Muslim nation really soon. And you think about it. And at this point is when they begin to prepare for war. They're strategizing how to make war under Russia's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And what we just saw take place in the world, and America participated big time. We set the whole thing up. God will often let you believe what you want to believe to go where he wants you to go so he can do what he wants to do. And what happened was, this puppy just got shifted into overdrive. Now, this is not the end time war. I'm not talking about Armageddon here. I'm talking about God showing himself mighty to the world, to the nations in Israel. And he says very specifically in Ezekiel, talking about it, he says, get ready, Ezekiel 38:7, get ready, be prepared, you and all the hordes gathered around you, and take command of them. And he's speaking to Gog, the prince of Gog and Magog, mm-hmm. of Russia and Moscow. So, in other words, all these hordes that are gathering around you now, Putin,
mm.
and he's saying specifically to him, when you look at, understand this, get ready, be prepared, you and all this Arab League that's around you, and take command of them. I mean, what? I mean, this is amazing to watch not only the Arabs go, yeah, we'll follow Putin. We'll follow him. And our president go, we'll follow him. Our president of America is going, yeah, we'll follow, you know. A couple of presidents go, Gorbachev, take down these walls.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. You know, they got, and all of a sudden we're actually bowing down to the king of Saudi. We are giving over to Gog and Magog, and the church don't even know that's Gog and Magog. When you hear a news report, somebody say, "Well, I'll transmit this to Vladimir." What he's saying is, "I'll transmit this to the prince of Gog and Magog."
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
In the context of that. What happened, what just happened with this chemical weapons, I can't tell you what people's motives were or anything like that. I just can say that we were pushed, we were pushed, we were pushed. 9/11's coming, we were pushed. Didn't make sense, we were pushed. Nobody was for it. Nobody was for coming and bombing innocent people in Syria for what was going to happen, but they were broken over what's going on. But they pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, the Prince of Gog and Magog shows up, grabs the Arab League by their hands, and says, takes command of the situation. Does he not? He takes command of the situation. Mm-hmm. And then everybody begins to say, the Prince of Gog and Magog has got this thing handled. Who would have ever thought in our day, mm-hmm. that we would see the transition of the Prince of Gog and Magog?
Just like that.
Just like that. That simple.
Wow.
You know, yesterday, Vladimir wrote an op-ed in the New York Times.
No, he did not.
In New York Times, listen to this.
Right.
Rebuking the United States. This is, I'm going to read this little statement. You listen to what he says here. Mm-hmm. The potential strike. This
you're talking about the Prince of Gog and Magog.
The Prince of
Vladimir.
Yes.
Vladimir
Putin. This is what he said. The potential strike by the United States against Syria, despite strong opposition from many countries and major political and religious leaders, including the Pope, will result in more innocent victims and escalation, potentially spreading the conflict beyond Syria's borders. A strike would increase, not might, would increase violence and unleash a new wave of terrorism. It could undermine multilateral efforts to resolve the Iranian nuclear problem and Israeli-Palestinian conflict and further destabilize the Middle East and North Africa Arab League. It could throw the entire system of international law and order out of balance. Vladimir, what are you transmitting here? What are you transmitting that it would increase terrorism? I mean, you're sending an open letter to the New York Times to America.
Because he's taking command over the whole thing.
He is.
He's taking command over the whole thing. Gog is just that one point. At that one point.
Wow.
And you look at, you know, this is the good news about this, you know, and we're just kind of skimming over it, but it's happening in this is a now word, by the way. Just in case you want to know. You might want to turn off your reality TV and look at reality.
For real.
And he says in Ezekiel 38, 18, he says, this is what will happen in that day when Russia, or Gog, when Russia attacks the land of Israel. Yep, that's what's going to happen.
Mm.
This whole thing is going to be orchestrated from the north, where that Russia will come in from its far land in the north, orchestrated with the Muslim nations, up under his command, to have an orchestrated attack to come. Isn't it amazing it takes all of that to come against all of this?
It's like Russia. Yeah, Cold War Russia.
And the Arab League, which is huge. And it says, this is what will happen in that day when Russia, Gog, attacks the land of Israel. My hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I will declare that at that time there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. In verse 21, I will summons a sword against Russia, against Gog, on all my mountains. What are the mountains? That's the West Bank. That's all the mountains that's been occupied by Muslim nations. And declares the sovereign Lord, every man's sword will be against his brother. What's going to happen? It's this whole thing that's being orchestrated by Gog, G-O-G, Gog, up under Russia's command. Don't be terrified. Don't be dismayed. Understand that friendly fire, they're going to begin to turn on each other. Mm-hmm. You see it happen anyway. I talked about it on VFN Radio, mm-hmm. where the people on the ground were crying out to their God, while the one standing over them about to shoot them was crying out to the same God. They were turning on each other. And the thing is darkness is what it is. You don't, if you walk in the light, that stuff doesn't happen. It's the fact that God's not God. And so it's what he says. He says, I will summons a sword against Russia. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? So don't be worried about, you know, little Putin. Mm-hmm. I will summon a sword against Russia, against Gog, on all the mountains, which the mountains represent West Bank and all the Arab leagues and all. Declares the sovereign Lord, every man's sword will be against his brother. What does that mean? These folks that were coming against Israel in the north begin to turn on each other. I will execute judgment upon him with plagues and blood, and I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstone, and burning sulfur on him and on his troops and on the many nations with him. So if you want to partner your nation with Gog, if you really want to hold Putin's hand and say he's going to resolve these issues, this is what happens to the nations that partner with him. And so will I show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I just want to encourage you. We got more to share on that. But don't think for a moment that anybody's pulling one over on God. Understand, we just got pushed and pushed and pushed for no, I mean, it was like, it wasn't even a good enough reason. But I can't help but think, but I don't know, and this would be allegedly, that if arms were traded, sent to Syria to arm the insurgents against King Assad by America through Libya, 12 months ago, the ambassador dies in Libya, and that was the accusation and the alleged reporting. Through Turkey, who, by the way, sent those ships down there into Israel to stir their attention up, and Turkey arming with our weapons, reportedly, arming the insurgents is trying to take down
the Al-Qaeda insurgents.
Al-Qaeda insurgents, who, by the way, Syria and Assad and Gog, Russia, are friends. They're tight, close friends. And so to wage a war against Assad and try to take him out is America to wage a war against Russia.
Mm-hmm.
To wage a war against Persia, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you have a proxy war going on between America and Gog and Russia, between America and Iran, and it's taking place in Damascus. It's taking place in the northern border of Israel. God will often let you believe what you want to believe, to go where he wants you to go, so you can do what he wants you to do. It looks like at this moment, when we got pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and everybody's going, they're going, because you see these terrible realities of this, out of the 100,000 deaths, these 1,000 that was gassed, and you're like, yeah, it's painful. I know we got to do something about it. But then you look at the country, and the country goes, nobody wants to do this. I mean, not even the Congress wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it. But yet our president is standing up, and those around him are standing up and said, just fire shots, fire shots, fire shots. And it's like, what is going on? And even the general that was fired, I mean, ashamed, put to shame by this current administration, allegedly, when things went on, he was removed from office or he resigned from office. He even stood up in support. I was like, what's weird thing?
And you know what
on?
Happened to him yesterday?
No.
As he's walking the streets of New York to teach at CUNY College.
And we're talking about
David Petraeus, General Petraeus. Mobs and mobs of students are chanting fascist, war criminal. I mean, they're mobbing him. I'm thinking at any moment you're watching this video, they're about to attack him. And a general is walking the streets of New York as fast as he possibly can. This is going on for over a block.
Can you make this available on the VFN Torch? You got to see this on the VFN Torch. Listen, we just entered into the Gog, Magog age. It looks like everybody just grabbed hands and got under the command of Russia.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, you know, when I first started in law enforcement, which it's history for me now, they issued you this flashlight. And the flashlight they issued was like a plunger. I was like, it was so huge. It had to have all these different batteries in it to be able to be a big bright light, they thought. I don't know. And it was like a plunger. And I remember this one particular time, and you turn it on, it probably light up, I don't know, nothing, you know. But of course, if you're in a real dark, dark place, it was nice to be able to at least know your next 12 inches that you could go.
Right.
And we were in a particular area where we had this suspect that had burglarized and did this crime. And he ran up in these real dark, dark woods. So I jump out of my cruiser, I lock my doors, which is a good thing, didn't always happen that way. Mm-hmm. And I start chasing him in these dark woods, just dark, with my little 12-inch beam of light. And I'm out there, you know, and you're just chasing. You get caught up in this adrenaline, back when I used to have adrenaline like that. And you're just running and chasing and running and chasing. And, you know, it's just a miracle because you can barely see with that light. And he got so far ahead of me, I couldn't see him. And then also my light goes out.
Oh, wow.
Not only was I complaining about the 12-inch beam, but now I had no inch beam. You know, and I'm out here possibly with this armed burglar in the dark, dark woods, and you couldn't even see. I mean, you could see anything. So I put my back against this real big, huge tree, this huge tree. And because I figured, listen, my back's covered, and I start banging on my flashlight. I'm banging on it, right? Like, come on, you've got to work, come on. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just beating on it, beating on it, beating on it, beating on it. And all of a sudden, I hear on the radio, they said, the canines are here. They call my radio. Oh, you can hear it. Right. We're about to lose the canine dogs after the suspect. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I'm blind. I'm in the woods, probably an armed burglar. And I can't see anything. And all of a sudden, I saw like a little crack of light outside the woods, and I just took a beeline for it because the dogs would have not told the difference between me or the suspect. And I'm running for my life. I don't know if I'm going to get shot by this armed man or I'm going to be bit by this armed dog. You know what I'm saying? Goodness. And I'm running. Finally, man, I made it to my car. And long story short, that the suspect was arrested. Of course, the dogs are very good.
Mm.
And got the man arrested. I have him cuffed in the back of my cruiser, and I'm doing the paperwork, and I'm talking, and I finally asked the man, I said, listen, when I was chasing you in the woods and my flashlight went out and I was beating on my flashlight, where were you? And he said, I was on the other side of the tree.
Oh, wow.
Is that terrible?
Oh, my God.
The one you were standing by?
Yes. Oh, he was on the other side of the tree that I was leaning against the whole time right there.
Oh.
The Lord is good, is he not?
Amazing.
The Lord is good.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John here in the Extra Hour. We're talking about the fulfillment of prophecy in Ezekiel that's taking place. It looks like when we saw this week, when we saw Gog and Magog, we saw Russia come and take command of the Arab League nations, the Muslim nations that are around there, mm-hmm. and everybody basically, he just took command of the situation.
Yeah.
And he's getting credit for it from across the board. And if you missed that, you can hear a little bit earlier. But then what we're hearing about, that with General Petraeus is going, Petraeus. Yeah, is going through New York, and they begin to boo him. And we got to understand is God has spoke to me about this. He spoke to me about this, and we're going to play this for you in just a moment. But in that New York was under attack. It was under attack, which pretty much could represent, you know, America was under attack. And they were trying to secure. They were trying to secure the America. And there was a general. This is what God spoke to me about. There's a general, and he has scrambled eggs for those in the military. You understand what that means. He's a high militant officer, obviously like an admiral or something, but he's got scrambled eggs on his shoulders and his okay, by the way, that probably freaks you out if you don't think about military. I just use that as an analogy. That makes no sense.
Okay, yeah, bring us. Yeah,
he's
us
got
in.
Metal, gold medal on his shoulders, lots of gold medal, and he was coming to take charge. Of course, the context of it was at first is like you're the military. Constitution says you can't take charge here. Now, not the American people, because you're supposed to go out and protect our borders and defend us, but not control us. But they began to. This general began, this high military officer began to do it, and then people just didn't listen to him. He had no power. Mm. He had no power at all, and all of a sudden the citizens took over, and they began to secure things. They began to secure things, and we're seeing right now, today, I mean, yes, September the 12th, this is happening right this very moment, that General Petraeus is walking through the streets of New York, fixing to go speak at a university, and as a matter of fact, listen to this, right? This is the response. This is their response when coming from WPIX, New York, and listen up.
His new job teaching with the City University of New York, but it was a rough first day.
He's over a manslaughter right here.
You disgusting material! You're nothing but a disgusting material!
And then what you're seeing is this is a general. But you know what? Our very own leader shamed him.
Mm.
This is a man who stood up and defended our country and was standing with our troops in Afghanistan. And it's alleged that he had some ambitions that he might want to be able to be a leader in the future.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He was brought into a particular office of leadership and then shamed. And he was such a man of honor that he just said, listen, I'm gonna step down from this. I'm just gonna step down. And it was like all of a sudden he was taken down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. The situation is going on in Syria over here. Nobody, very few, if anybody in America, 6% or 4%, and the rest aren't. I don't know what the numbers were, but it was real low.
Very low.
And he comes in along with former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and they begin to say, fire the bombs in there, fire the. And you start thinking, did you know something about the whatever they're trying to take out in there? And is there, what's there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something you're not telling us in Libya. You're polygraphing everybody every single day, every single month, allegedly and reportedly. And it was down there, there's witnesses. We're not finding out what's going on down there. I mean, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you what's happening. That God's perspective behind this, we think a biblical perspective behind the news, is that this whole thing's shifting.
I heard there's so much chemical weapons in there, it would take 6 years. 6 years to get rid of all those chemical weapons out of there. That's what the powder keg that's sitting there.
The biggest stockpile in the world. But it's interesting you say it because I'm going to talk about something in a moment. That and of course what Americans are doing here on the streets of New York is like, what are you talking about bombing Syria? Mm-hmm. It's just like, what's going on here? And but that was what God showed me. He showed me this day would come, and that people would not even listen to the military.
Mm.
I mean, every form of leadership is being discredited. Everybody's, it's like, who's there to believe anymore?
Right.
And during this time, all of a sudden, what happens? Gog and Magog comes in and takes command of the nations. And guess what? Who's one of those nations? They're saying who's what nation's leader was saved by Gog? What they're saying that his political His leadership was saved by Russia. What nation is that? America. Because they were saying he was going off of an area that Congress was against him, the nation was against him, and it was about to be really bad, but he was saved by Gog and Magog. Wow. He took command. Russia, Putin, Vladimir, came and took command of the situation, just like we just talked about in Ezekiel. And what are the folks that were saying, go bomb, what are they saying now? Thank you.
Yeah.
What are the ones saying that thought that it wasn't a good idea to Vladimir, to Gog and Magog? Thank you. Thank you for the sanity, for the opt-ad that you just read. And it's interesting that John just said it, they report that it'll take 6 years. There's so many chemical weapons, it would take 6 years. So this is what happens. When I was telling you what happens when all of a sudden Russia takes these Arab League nations, if you will, these Muslim nations, under his command, and they come down, this is a prophecy, they come down, God, Ezekiel 35 and 36, he comes down out of the northern borders, and Syria is his home base, you know, coming through there, if you would, and to make war against Israel, and of course, God, they friendly fire, they turn in on themselves, and they destroy themselves, but this is what this interesting thing is. It says that it takes Israel, I believe, 7 years. It takes 7 years to destroy all their weapons.
Wow.
And it says right here in the Word of God, it takes 7 years. There's so many weapons. They even burn it for fuel. They even burn it for fuel for 7 years.
Wow.
That's how long it takes them to get rid of the Ezekiel 38, I believe it is.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It's like, man, it's happening right in front of us. And here it is, yeah, Ezekiel 39, 9. He says, for 7 years they will use them for fuel. In the beginning it says, then those who live in the towns of Israel will go out and use weapons for fuel and burn them up, the small and the large shields, the bow, all the different tools, whatever weapons they have. For 7 years they will use them for fuel. For seven years.
Wow.
And they will plunder those who are plundering them and loot those who are looting. I mean, good days are ahead, for God's going to show himself mighty. There's a whole bunch of other things we're going to share with you. But it also will take 7 months to bury. All the dead bodies.
Wow.
And they'll go around. You know how it is in a crime scene? They put little markers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little number one here, number two. Then you take a picture. Then you can go back and say that was here, that was there. It'll take 7 months, and that so many bodies, there's going to be so much death from Gog and Magog and all those nations who partnered with him to come against Israel when God has them turn in on themselves. And by the way, you understand this, that God's turning Russia over to itself, and he's allowing him to have these thoughts. Who will cause Ahab to do this? Who will be a lying spirit? You know, he says, all of a sudden this thought would come to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come down. Mm. And God's going to put that thought that brings him to his own disaster. And it's going to take them 7 months. So many dead bodies are going to happen. What you think about it, it's just like, hey, we need some reprieve around here. It's like, how many more in the world? And God's going to, if you want to be an enemy of God, be an enemy of Israel.
Hmm.
You want to be a friend of God, be a friend of Israel. In the end, it all will be judged by this. But understand, there's going to be so many dead bodies. This is going to take 7 months, I believe, to be able to bury them. And that the birds and princes and kings and people of power and soldiers of all different nations, all kinds, who partnered with, and you think about all the different kinds that would be partnered under this new, you know, rescue moment that just happened, that the birds, they'll eat their flesh like cows and like goats in the field, because that's what happens when a carcass drops. Mm-hmm. There'll be so many, and so they'll be people will be on the payroll to begin. This is the pollution from the death, the bodies of the dead bodies, and the weapons. It makes me think about the BP spill, the British Petroleum spill, because we hired people that walked up and down the coast to be able to remove the toxins from the soil, and that's what's going to happen. He talks about that.
Wow.
And they'll even go, after burying the bodies, they'll go across all the land of Israel, and they'll see a fragmented bone here, a bone there, and they said they'll put a marker there, just like you would in a crime scene. You put a marker there.
Wow. Mm.
So people know that's a bone that needs to go get buried. Isn't that amazing? You say it takes 6 years, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is exciting. Listen, God's got a plan to take care of the biggest stockpile of nuclear weapons. Don't worry about Vladimir be shocked and sad that America just joined his command, and to say, dear God, forgive us, Lord. Who would ever thought that we would be part of all nations turn against Israel and believe that we can turn back to one nation under God? That we would, if you have not yet heard this, you need to hear America. How did we get here and how did we stay here? Because we had just taken a major shift. We just got pushed. We got nudged, if you would, pushed into bowing down not only to the king of Saudi Arabia, to which is Islamic Muslim religion, you understand, which is anti-Jesus Christ faith, which is anti-Christ faith, that he's not the son of God. And now we've bowed down to Gog and Magog, who just came in and took command, just like he says, in his word will take place. Amazing. Isn't that amazing how this just took place?
It's amazing how Og and Magog commanded the commander.
Yeah, yeah.
In chief.
Yeah, 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 he did. And there, he's like, you know, we saved him. And now he's right. Yeah, he's opt-adding out and writing, rebuking. So you need to go help some. And all of a sudden he has this, and you understand.
Raising up the United Nations.
Satan comes as the angel of light.
Yeah.
United Nations has an Arab League voting bloc. You know what I'm saying? And if they're under his command, guess which way it's going to go? And because Gog and Magog wouldn't allow the United Nations to vote yes to bomb Syria, that's why, supposedly, that they went around the other way. But all of a sudden, it pushed himself in a situation where we end up having to bow down our leader to Gog and Magog, to Russia, to Moscow. That's what that means, Russia and Moscow. And here we are, right smack dab in the middle of prophecy. And I got good news for you. Though they make war, and it takes a while, it says for a few days they do this, then it takes a little while where they come together, and after a little while, I think it's several years, then the thought will come to the president of Russia, whoever it's going to be at that time, which I'm sure it will be, and they'll come to make war against Israel. But hold on, you get your shovels ready. They're going to hire people like they did with BP oil spill in America, and they're going to pay you to go bury your enemy's bodies. They're going to pay you to help rid this land of their weapons, including those chemical weapons sitting in Syria. Amazing days. We'll be talking more about that soon. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.